Hello, 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 Brian. Could I have a little bit of monitor? You like monster movies?
Yeah!
I love monster movies. And the cheaper they are, the better they are. And cheapness, in the case of a monster movie, has nothing to do with the budget of the film, although it helps. Welcome to Subway Union! Men det gøy å være her, mitt navn Thomas Følvar, jeg stor Zappa-fan, det går jeg fra alle her i kveld, og noen Zappa-fans her?
Yeah!
Det hyggelig å høre, dette jo farewell-turnéen til Grandmothers, og vi har jo noen eminente musikere fra Grandmothers her. Ta vel imot på scenen, Don Preston og Ben Gardner! Norway, guys. I have this mic, Eric. We have to share this mic. So, I don't know. It's something to do with the lines of the sound. I don't know. Just wanted to welcome you to Norway again. How many times have you been in Norway with Grandmothers now?
I don't know. Probably about 38 years
of Grandmothers.
But 38 years in Norway, or...?
Norway?
No way, Norway. I have a few questions from some of the, you know, great fans that have come here to celebrate with you this evening. And the first question is, how did you meet Frank Zappa back in the day?
Well, I was in a concert in a big, huge room about 5 times bigger than this room, and in the middle of the room was a stage. There were stages all around the room, and in the middle of the room there was a stage where you were kind of like on an island, and there was this weird guy there, and we introduced each other. That was Frank Zappa, and a couple weeks later he called me on the phone and said, I want you to audition for a job with me. So we went and played this place. It was just guitar, organ, and drums. And we played Oh No, which is in 7/4, and people were trying to dance, and they couldn't dance. But so anyhow, that's how I knew.
And how about you, Buck? How did you first meet Frank Zappa?
It was at Don's house.
Don Preston?
Yes. And what started was that my brother Buzz was in the army in Trieste, Italy with Don. And when my brother and I moved to California in 1960, Don was one of the very first persons that we bumped into. And he was already at that point into very avant-garde music, and we were at Don's house, and lo and behold, Frank Zappa came over. He noticed that Don had some avant-garde composers in his record collection, and at the time, Don had constructed a little thing that you hand cranked, and it had different colors as you would crank it, and when your color came up, you played, which was fairly, anyhow.
It's of the simplest.
So I think that Frank saw that there was some weirdness and creativity immediately there.
Great, interesting. Oh, of course, we have Ed Mann here as well. Give him applause. Come on! You're so in this room. How did you meet Frank for the first time? I think also you should have your first.
I was watching a rehearsal that my friend was participating in. Rehearsal of Frank's chamber music, and standing in the alleyway, and he came walking up the alleyway with an armful of music. And he put his hand and said, hi. No, that happened 2 years later.
So how did you get invited to the Frank Zappa group then? Because then you started hanging with him and you played, you were already a musician, of course.
I got asked to come my teacher, John Bergamo, was asked to come play on the recordings of the Black Page, and Frank asked him to bring someone else, so he brought me and we recorded on those. And then 2 months later, Ruth called me. Ruth Underwood. And Frank was looking for a keyboard player, because in the studio, Frank had told us he would never, ever, ever have a percussionist in the band again. And this is with Ruth standing right there. Because percussionists are nothing but trouble. They invest all this time in them, and then they quit, and they go away. And so that was my... That's what I thought. And then Ruth called me and said, Frank is looking for a great keyboard player, and I know Tommy Mars, and I just moved to California. So I gave her Tommy's number. She said, no, you have to call Frank right now. Midnight. So I called him and he said, oh, I remember you, come up to the house. And we fooled around for 10 minutes on the marimba and the guitar, and he just asked me to be in the band.
And of course, that's a different story than you have to call them at midnight than compared to the Alice Cooper band when they're going to sign to the Bizarre label. Frank Zappa knows signed Alice Cooper and told them to show up at 7 o'clock. And they were so from out in the countryside that they showed up 7 in the morning. Still got the deal, though. Okay, let's go back to you guys. Also, we wanted to ask you about when you had the residency at the Garrick Theatre in March until September 1967 in New York. And it's been mentioned to me that Jimi Hendrix came on stage one evening. At least someone wanted to ask you if you had any recollection of Hendrix jamming with Mothers of Invention at the Garrick Theatre, probably July-ish 1967.
No.
Very good. That's an honest answer. I thought maybe so. And also someone also wants to know about Fillmore East, which I guess is a few years later with Flo and Eddie, and John Lennon and Yoko Ono jumps up on stage. That you remember, baby. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, this was the second version of Frank's bands, of many bands. Anyhow, I wasn't aware that they were there. And I came out, you know, we're playing away and everything, and then all of a sudden, I'm facing the back of the stage, and I hear this roar from the audience. And I turn around, and I saw John Lennon and Yoko Ono come out on stage. And the thing that was, now I have a videotape of this, but the thing that really struck me as being so amazing was that Frank had taught John some hand signals. You know, you go like this, and that was the sound. Or you went like this, and it was a boom, and all kinds of other signals that make you do things. And John Lennon, first time of any time, he constructed a piece there that was so incredible and musical and everything. It was like this incredible piece that he made, you know, with the hand signals. And I was blown away by that. And just, it still am. I mean, it's just because that just showed me what an incredible talent he was, and even in our league, so to speak.
It's a good story. And of course that recording exists on the double John Lennon album somewhere in New York City, if people want to listen in to that evening.
One other thing. During that performance, Yoko Ono had this burlap bag. You know, a burlap is like a heavy fabric. And she started pulling this bag up, and the whole band was singing, "Scumbag, scumbag." And that I thought was really weird too, because she didn't understand English.
When it comes to Yoko, no, don't ask any questions. It's art. Just leave it like that.
Well, that's what I like to call it anyhow.
And also, let's talk a bit. Someone wants to maybe, if you can have some recollection about the We're Only In It For The Money cover shoot, which of course is a very interesting album cover, a spoof of the Sgt. Pepper Beatles cover. How did that come about? Skal Schenkel, the editor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that wasn't very memorable. I mean, it was all that stuff you see in the cover was laid out. It was all real. Watermelons and carrots and all
broccoli.
Kinds of vegetables. And but the thing was, right about that time, we were asked to do a photo for Life magazine. And so we came down to the photo shoot, and there were like 15 mothers with their babies. And we all sat in a kind of a weird, diagram of, and they wanted us to hold the babies. Well, these babies did not want us ugly old guys to hold them. And they were bawling, crying, screaming, yelling, and those babies, I have a recording of it, and it, you can't stand to listen to it. It's like horrible. And I think a few guys got wet on. I don't remember who, but that was the most memorable photo shoot I've ever been to in my entire life.
You can smell it for this. Applause. I don't know how much else we're going to talk about. I guess we need to boogie. Are you ready for some music, people?
Yeah!
Because obviously the grandmother's been around since 1980-81, right? Yeah.
Various forms of it.
Yeah. So it's almost 40 years of doing this show. So I guess the present from Gardner and Edmund, grandmothers, give them a hand, come on!
Okay. We'll be right back.
Vi skal snart komme tilbake med mine måter. Den Frank Zappa-boka Zappa i Norge til salgs her i kveld. Det 30 eksemplarer igjen før den helt utsolgt. Går for 250 spenn, det jo nothing. Så hvis man skal ha med seg den hjem, så tror jeg kanskje kveld siste sjanse. Sier jeg bare som en annen intelligent mann sa før meg. That's enough for my jacken. Let's boogie. Hør bare ønske grandmothers velkommen. Hør til barn. Men det lov å synge med, selv om ikke de synger. Just before you start, actually I have a present from Zappa Union Norway to you guys.
Yay.
Which I forgot because I was into what you were talking about. Ed, this is for you.
Oh, thank you.
Chris, this is for you.
And you must have a
very nice. It's from Zappa Union and from all Zappa fans of Norway! Come on! Yay.
Hi there, movers and groovers. This is Art LeBeau coming to you live from the Sunset Strip with another evening of golden oldies but goodies. And with us in the studio tonight, making yet another comeback, we have Ruben and the Jets.
Love you all.
Now, you may not know this, but Frank Zappa wrote that song, along with Ray Collins, in 1963. And they sold it to the Penguins, who then recorded it and put it out. And it was great. And I got to play that with the early version of the Mothers around 67, 66 actually. Okay. Okay. So we're going to start playing this part of the show with a really nice, beautiful piece called Dupree's Paradise. And we're going to throw in a little piece called Ruth in the middle of it.
Thank you. We have a special guest coming out tonight with us. And he wanted to play, we thought we'd give him one of the easiest songs we do. So he said, no problem, no problem. Already done,
beef heart.
Just remember, people, Chris Garcia is Captain Beef Heart.
Oh,
you. Now we'd like to bring up your special guest artist, probably one of the great musicians of our present day. This guy is unbelievable. But when you see him, it's still unbelievable. So let's hear it for Al Shankar. Who played with Zappa as well.
Thank you. Bill Shenka. Buck Wagner.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Well.
Take it away.
So, yeah, we're done now. I mean, look at these people. They're so modern.
Fun. Well, Don, we had an album called Ahead of Their Time, so, you know.
Yeah, we did. I remember it well. Or do I?
I know, short-term memory comes easy.
Well, I'm a modern man. I know. Really, I am. A man for the millennium. Digital and smoke-free, a diversified, multicultural, postmodern deconstruction that is anatomically and ecologically incorrect.
I know that. I want to let you know I've been uplinked and downloaded. I've been input and outsourced. I know the downside of upgrading, and I know the upside of downgrading.
Well, I'm a high-tech lowlife.
I know.
A cutting edge, state of the art bicoastal multitasker, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond.
That's fantastic. But I'm new way, but I'm old school. And my inner child is outward bound. I am a heat sinking, warm hearted, cool customer. I am voice activated and biodegradable.
Yes, he is. He really is. But you know, Bunk, I interface with my database, and my database is in cyberspace. So I'm interactive, I'm hyperactive, and from time to time, I'm radioactive.
That is scary, Don. I'm behind the eight ball, ahead of the curve, riding the wave, dodging the bullet, and I'm pushing the envelope.
Well, I'm on point, on task, on message, and off drugs. Got no need for coke and speed, and I've got no urge to binge and purge.
Don, this is a multiple. I am fully equipped, factory authorized, hospital tested, clinically proven, scientifically formulated medical miracle.
Well, you are. But I'm in the moment, on the edge, over the top, and under the radar. I'm a proactive outreach, a raging workaholic, and a working rageaholic, out of rehab and in denial.
I am a hands-on, foot-loose, knee-jerk head case, but I've got a love child that sends me hate mail.
I know her. She lives in Paris, doesn't she? Well, I bought a microwave at a mini mall.
Well, I bought a minivan at a megastore.
I eat fast food in the slow lane.
But, Don, I'm toll-free and I'm bite-sized.
Ready to wear?
Well, I come in all sizes.
Driving and moving.
I'm sailing and spinning.
Driving and grooving.
I'm winning and winning.
I don't know what I am.
Snooze and doos.
I don't snooze. So I don't lose.
Well, I keep the pedal to the metal and the rubber on the road.
And I party hardy, and lunchtime is crunch time.
Yeah, well, I'm hanging in there, ain't no doubt.
And I'm hanging tough.
Over and out.
Thank you. That was a little piece George Carlin wrote before he died.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Don Preston. Don Preston, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Bob Gardner. Hit Man. It's great to be in Oslo.
Drums, on drums, Mr. Christopher Garcia. Yeah.
All right, we're going to bring up some other guys up here.
Some more special guests.
Where are they?
There they are.
We're going to be assisted by this beautiful, incredible wind section. If you need a lot of wind, just call in. All right. This piece is called Little House I Used to Live In.
Danny,
I forgot. I'm supposed to play the intro to Little House. Well, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it would take 5 minutes, but I'm just going to play a little excerpt so you'll recognize it.
One, two, three, four!
but she wore a diamond ring. Claimed it was from Uncle Joe. When I looked at the inscription, it's that love from Daddy-O. Ooh. Well, I've got news for you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Well, your story don't ring true. So that was fun. That was jazzy. And then Zappa wrote this song called Dog Breath. Which makes you wonder, doesn't it?
What about Evelyn the dog?
Oh, right, of course. Should I do that? Evelyn, the modified dog, viewed the quivering fringe of a special doily, dragged across the piano with some surprise, in the darkened room where the chairs dismayed and the horrible curtains muffled the rain, she could hardly believe her eyes. A curious breeze of garlic breath that sounded like a snore. Somewhere near the Steinway or even from within, that caused the doily fringe to waft and tremble in the gloom. Evelyn the dog, having undergone further modification, pondered the significance of short person behavior with pen-depressed microchromatic resonance and other highly ambient domains.
Art, she said. One, two. We'll be right back.
fucking second.
Shut it so high.
Try doing something we've not done before, and maybe I shouldn't let you know because it might be a surprise for somebody. I'm going to start off with a Kidness Arf of You.
You ready, Bunk? You ready, Don? Okay, I'll wait. Let me know when you're ready. Now he's ready.
She had one day, and I hear she has.
If she were my White House executive, I'd...
What would you do, Daddy?
If she were my Playboy bunny, I'd...
What would you do, Daddy?
And if she were my hooker, I would...
What would you do, Daddy?
Well, I know what I'd do, I'd... Start that chocolate syrup. Grab her out again. They're gonna make it through Nancy on the White House. We want to tell you that there's a merch table out there somewhere, I'm not sure, back there, which we have a few shirts and we have some CDs, but we are going to be there, Buck and I for sure, and we'll sign anything you have, an arm, a leg, your kitchen sink, I don't care, what it is.
And it's actually getting a little close to my bedtime. But don't mind. If it wasn't for my vegetables, I don't know. before we finish our last song.
He loves you too.
I want to tell you how lucky I am to be up here, still playing Frank's music and enjoying it. But, you know, giving, the older I get, giving is very important. And I say this from my heart. I truly enjoy, after the concert, talking to all these fans, and you know, it's very heartfelt when, you know, people come up and tell you how much they enjoy the music. And a lot of it is, you know, when they were a young teenager, and they bring their kids later. So I know how much it means to them, and I want to thank you for your loyalty and your support for Benny's music.
Reveals your chest. I see your lovely feet. And in that magic go-kart, I bite your neck. Love I have for you, my dear, is real and very new. The proof, if it is the real. Thank you.
heart, find your hand. She's I have for you, my dear. It's real and very new. Never is. Well, maybe. And so, my dear, I offer you a love that is strong, a proof that is true.
One of the best.
Thank you guys.
We do.
Chris Garcia, Ed Mann, and
okay, I think.
You know, we'll probably have, this is the last song. You don't want to kill us, do you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, right.
I have to give you a new admission fee.
And that's why they call it the final edition. Farewell.
Okay. I lost myself for a second. Sorry, Doug. What? Watching my TV and checking out the news till my eyeballs fail to see. Seems like every other day it's just another rotten mess. What is gonna change, my friend? Is anybody? And I'm hoping for the best. Even think I would have prayed every time I hear it. There's no way to delay that trouble coming everywhere. The cops out on the street. Watch them throw rocks and stuff. Choking in the heat. Unless you report. We have a 409er down by Bump Gardner's house with you guys.
Something about wheat crash juice? I don't know. It's been
there. Well, I seen the broken burner. And the market burner now.
While everybody on the street would take a turn to stop.
Here until 4 in the morning. How many of you people know that Buck and I are 85?